Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Our aim is to encourage you in the Word of God, to bring pastors anointed teaching, and to show you the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and to hope in His Word to draw nearer to Him. You can contact us further at hiswillministry.org, or you can email us at info@hiswillministry.org. Here's Pastor Warner.
My God didn't forsake me no matter what I did, no matter how far I walked away from Him. Evangelist once said, as Christians, we need to be making progress every day. Tomorrow has to be better than today. And if we're not living that way, if we're not living in that reality, we're backsliders. Proverbs 14:14 says, "The heart of a backslider shall be filled with his own ways. A good man shall be satisfied from himself." In other words, what Proverbs is saying is that if we are too busy wrapped up in this world, if we're too busy in other things than God's business, and that's where our satisfaction's coming from, we're a backslider. Whether we're committing a sin, whether we're doing anything wrong, because as Christians, Holy Ghost Christians, we have one thing that we need to be doing every day, and that's going forward. Every day has to be a better day. Ray was saying today, he could have gone to work. He could have made extra money. But because he chose not to, he went forward that little bit more today, and God has rewarded him already for it. And that's the way we have to look at our Lord. Which is more important? What we see that we can put our hand on, the substance of things believed and seen, or what Paul says, the substance of things that are not seen yet believed upon. So that's what the Lord wants. Solomon, you have to get, the guy was the wisest man in the world, and he's given us the words of what a backslider is. Now, I always wondered when I read this verse, did Solomon write that verse from Proverbs before or after Solomon decided to try everything else but God? Because when I read this verse, I see Solomon in his end years saying, I learned, you know, backslider is somebody that wants his own way, whereas the true good man of God is satisfied with God. But I don't know. I don't have that information about poor Solomon. But that's what's happened to this country. That's why the churches can't keep people in. What's the center now? I grew up with the 60s generation. And what was the center of that generation? Me, myself, and I. If it feels good, do it. If it don't hurt anybody, it's okay. If it isn't illegal, have fun. Now, you notice in those three statements, we're missing somebody. As Christians, there's something missing here. It's not if it feels good to help that homeless dude help him, does it? No, so it feels good to do it. We have to learn, and this has been a real, real hard one for my wife and I, especially me. You know, part of God dragging me down and putting me in some of the places He has was to get rid of a massive ego that I had as a young man. I lived on the edge, and I had this philosophy, don't dare me to do it because I'll prove it can be done. And I praise God. I stand here right now and praise God because the only reason I'm alive is because of Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for God's loving, unending grace, some of the stupid things I did in my youth, I wouldn't be standing here right now. But I had to learn the lesson of killing self. And every single one of us has to learn that if we want Jesus as our best friend, Jesus has to come first. If we want the blessings of God in our lives, health, wealth, beautiful mentality, joy, the promises that the Bible holds, they can't be ours until we're His. This building can't fill up until we're His. Until every person reflects Jesus, We can't expect anybody that walks by us, anybody that sees us, anybody that talks to us, to have the slightest urge to want to be part of it. Can we? If we're not different, what can we expect? There shall no evil befall them, neither shall a plague come on high to their dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee and keep thee in all thy ways. Psalms 91, 10 and 11. Nothing. Zip. When you've been held in the bosom of God through trials, tribulations, or anything else, you can't get closer to heaven. When you've been held by Jesus, held up when you can't stand anymore, carried through when you can't walk anymore, you can't get closer to heaven. Jesus is precious. Jesus is our loving Savior. He has towards us only one thing, a divine loving attitude. He died on the cross so that we didn't have to. That we didn't have to be crucified. In Luke, and this is the way we really should be. In Luke, chapter 24, and I won't read the whole thing. I'll give you a quick synopsis. This is after Jesus is raised, and He's walking on the road, talking with His disciples, several of them. And they're discussing the Scriptures, and they're just talking. They just happen to meet this guy on the road, which they have no idea who he is, because he hasn't opened their eyes to him. And they're just talking to him about the Bible, and he's explaining Scriptures. And it says, and then, verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew Him, and He vanished from their sight. Now get this. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us when He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us? Now they didn't even know it was Jesus. Yet their hearts were burning with flames of passion and love because He was opening the Scriptures to them, and their souls inside, the spirits, knew this was Jesus, but their mental abilities didn't. And that's the way we need to be about our Lord. We need to burn. Our hearts need to burn. God wants to make us worthy of His name. God wants us to be worthy of that name, to burn for that name inside, to feel Him. You know, Jesus is real, not was real, is real. Okay? He wasn't real, He is. You have to remember, He died and was resurrected, came back to life on the third day and ascended to heaven. I.e., He never died again. So, Jesus, if we're Christians and we follow Him, He is real. He has to be our best friend. We have to reflect what God wants for us. You know, I can't find it in the Scriptures. I can't find it anywhere where a Holy Ghost-filled Christian that knows Jesus is silent. What happened in the book of Acts? Acts chapter 2, the most famous. They're all sitting in the upper room. Holy Ghost comes upon them, and the first thing they do is, bam, they're out the door. They're out the door. They're telling people about their best friend, Jesus. They're telling people about what He did for them. They're telling people about how, you can picture Peter. Peter's got to tell his story.
He's got to tell. He was always the big one. He had to tell how he got to walk on water. He probably, knowing Peter, forgot the part about how he stopped walking on water, and John the Beloved's going, "Tell the truth, Peter. Come on." But Peter, you could just picture him. "Do you realize I denied him 3 times? And he forgave me. He forgave me." And he told Peter to do what? Peter got a little mad by the 3rd time. "Peter, do you love me?" "Well, yeah, Lord." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes." By the 3rd time is, "Peter, do you love me?" "Well, you know I do, Lord." And Jesus in his calm voice said, "Then go and feed my sheep." That's it. Just go and feed my sheep, Peter. So Peter gets the Holy Ghost, and man, he's out the door. We don't get a description of all the other 120. We know they're out there because they're talking about them. "Oh, they must be drunk. We're hearing each one in our own voice." But the one we hear about is Peter. We have John the Beloved, which Jesus loved, and he was probably the calmest one. Because somewhere inside he knew this was going to happen. Then you have Peter, who had just gone, he was like most of us, he'd gone all the way to the bottom. And Jesus grabbed him by the bootstraps, dragged him up. You can picture Peter, you know, Jesus was on the earth for 40 days with those men. And then they had to wait 10 days, and they were in the upper room praying. Now, I pray more than I used to. But I have a feeling you stick me in a room and leave me to pray for 10 days, about the 2nd day, I'm really going to start wondering if anything's going to happen. And I might not make it to 2. So you can picture these guys, by the end of that, they're starting to wonder. And all of a sudden the building starts to shake. And the next thing is history. But they went out and told everybody about their friend. Paul says in the 12th chapter of Romans 1 and 2, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy," I love that, "in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your scriptural act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing, perfect will." Isn't that interesting? He says, in view of God's mercy. So God has been merciful enough to allow us to take this old, worn out, 47-year-old, fat body and offer it to the Lord in spiritual needs. I think that's kind of nice, you know. I got 47 years worth of hard running on this thing, and God still says, "I'm going to let you use it for me." But then He says that we have to be transformed. See, it's a step process. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, how do we renew our minds? The living Word. You know, even if the Holy Ghost drops down right now and all of us start speaking and interpreting tongues, healing, our minds aren't renewed. That's the Holy Ghost. Our minds haven't been renewed because Jesus tells us He's not only the Comforter, but the Teacher. We renew our minds through the living Word. We can't get to the point of renewing our minds until we get into the Word. And once we're in the Word, what does He say? "Then and only then will you be able to test and approve what is God's will for you." If we're not living in this book right here, if this is not our lunch, our breakfast, our dinner, and every chance we get, how can we tell what God's will is? We can't. Paul says it. We have to renew our minds. By renewing our minds, we're translated, transformed, changed from the worldly mess that's in here, and then and only then can we tell what God's will is for us. If we go around praying for God's will, we go around asking God's will, we go around saying we're in God's will, and we don't open this book, and we don't renew our mind, and we don't test it, we're full of it, as politely as one can say. Because we haven't done what Paul said. We have done what the Bible tells us. Now think about it. God says to tithe. We're told to tithe 10%. So if you make $100, that's $10. Between you and God. But you live 24 hours a day. How many give Him 2.5? How many people spend 2.5 hours a day for God? That's 10%. If we can't give God 2.5 hours a day of our lives, if we can't give Him 2 hours a day, if we can't give Him 1 hour a day, how do we expect to know Him? How do we expect for Him to come to us and show us His will? If the world demands 99% of your time, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, and the world demands 99% of your time, that means Jesus has got one. You can't reflect Him. If Jesus doesn't come at the top, you can't reflect Him. It's like being a geologist. If you take a bottle and you put some water in the bottom and oil on the top, no matter how much you do that, you can shake it till now and eternity. The second you stop shaking, you're going to have oil and water. Now, if that jar is filled with 99% water, no matter how much I shake it, I'm going to end up with a 1% oil at the top. That oil isn't going to matter. First thing you pour off, it's gone. It's all water. Now, when troubles come, trials come, temptations come, when the world enters in, if all we got is 1% oil, what's going to take us? Who's going to conquer us? Who's going to be in charge of us? You remember, I always do, because I have my puppy love right here, but remember your puppy love days? In the days of your first love? You couldn't have pried you away from that person on a bed. When you were so much in love, so much in love, you could have taken a 2x4 and gotten 6 guys to try to pull you two apart, and it wouldn't have worked. No, my wife and I, well, we're still that way almost. It's taken all these years to the fact that she goes one way and I go the other way, and we barely make it till we get back. But think about that. That's the way Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to have that puppy love for Him. Doesn't matter what the world brings. He doesn't want us to be pried away. Because every time we're pried away, something gets in between. And then it's easier to do this and do this and do this and do this. And before you know it, the relationship you had with the Lord, the prayer times that you had that were so sweet, the communion that you had, the beauty that you felt, you don't feel it anymore. It just disappeared and you can't put your hand on why. You can't say, this is what happened. I was going down the road yesterday and, well, the radio came on and it was my favorite country western song, and by George, right after that, I didn't have Jesus anymore. You can't say that. You can't tell where it happened. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, He says, I came that you may have life. But He didn't just say, I came that you may have life. He said what? I came that you may have life more abundantly. How many people feel more abundant this morning? Hey, I got one hand. Two hands. Three hands. Cool. That is what Jesus was talking about. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Fruits of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the final part of that verse is, and against these things there is no law. If we don't have every one of those fruits in our lives, we're not close enough to Jesus. If we don't feel everything the Lord told Paul to write down there, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And for those that don't remember, that's Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Then we can't have the more abundantly part. We've got life. We were born. And we will die. But we can't have the more abundantly part if we don't have those fruits, and we can't have those fruits if we don't have a personal relationship with the Holy Ghost and with Jesus. That's what it's all about.
The Holy Ghost came to do what, according to the Scriptures? He's the great illuminator of Jesus. He shows us Jesus. He teaches us about Jesus. He magnifies Jesus. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of what to say, for what will happen? When you need to say it, the Holy Ghost will give it to you." Don't be afraid that about your mirror reflecting and somebody doing something. Because if you have a relationship with Jesus and the Holy Ghost is going to give you immediately the proper words to say. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be great. Because you've got something they don't. And we need to make them want it. We need to show them a reason why we're here. We need to show them a reason why we want it. In 1 Thessalonians, and I'll end with this one. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, Paul kind of gives us a little window. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blamelessly at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, most people don't even think about it. But Paul said right there, and I like the New International's version, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire." We have the ability to do that. Because we don't seek Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes into us and He is part of Jesus. He is part of the Father. And if we don't have a growing relationship, we've put out that fire. We are to reflect like unveiled faces looking in a mirror, reflect the glory of God.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.